Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call this afternoon at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'd love to get you on the air here this afternoon, and let's go ahead and open our program with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for watching over us. Thank you for the day that you've given to us. Pray we use it for your glory. Thank you for the opportunity to be on the air. Help us be a blessing, a help and an encouragement, and point people to Christ through the things that we talk about. And Lord, we do pray that you would just again guide our conversation today. Help us to lift up and glorify Christ. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's good to be with you today. Kind of a drizzly, rainy, sort of gray October day today, but temperature-wise, really can't complain. It's been fairly comfortable temperature-wise so far this month, but it's October. It's a transition month. Trees are starting to change color. A lot of leaves coming down in spots, but I like October. I like all the changes, and it's a neat time of the year, especially here in northeastern Ohio. Well, there's a lot of things happening in the world around us, and we need to be careful when we look at the things that are happening in the news. And the reason I say we need to be careful is because we get carried away with what's happening in the world around us in the news. We can become overwhelmed sometimes, and we lose sight of what's in the Word of God, and we also lose sight of what we're supposed to be doing as believers in the world. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And certainly, you only have to turn on the news. There was some people fighting at a college in Arizona, I believe it was, last night. And heard the news this morning that somebody pulled out a gun and started shooting. And then, of course, people are still talking about the shooting in Oregon and all these sorts of things. But lost in all the shuffle and the discussion of all of this is the fact that probably more people were killed in the city of Chicago alone, which is not the highest murder rate of American cities, but more people killed in Chicago alone last weekend, or will be in this coming weekend that starts tonight going through the weekend, than have been killed in all these mass shootings probably the whole year. But anyway, it's not going to talk about that as much today, except to reinforce the idea, as it says in Ephesians chapter 5, redeeming the time because the days are evil, and we certainly do live in an evil day. And the devil has a lot of things that he just seems to be throwing at us right now. Like I said, we see the lack of respect for life here in the United States of America. And it's really sad when you think of the Christian heritage that this country has, about how we have become so callous towards life. And we see it evidenced by these shootings. You also see it evidenced by the incredible violence that strikes some of our major cities. And, I heard it said one time, I don't know the exact statistics, but I heard it said that if you were to take away the crime rates of our major American cities, like Chicago, Washington, D.C., Baltimore, New York City, even Cleveland, and take away those crime rates, the rate of crime of all types in the United States of America would be some of the absolute lowest in the world. And certainly, even the United States, when we think about it, is painted and pictured as being so incredibly violent. There's violence all over the place. And you look at the Middle East today and the violence that's occurring there. Certainly, we read and see the stories about the Russians moving into Syria in a major way and moving in their military forces and attacking the enemies of the Assad regime there. And then, of course, the atrocities of the Islamic State that are going on. Just seems like daily some new atrocity comes out. They seem to delight in finding ways to kill people. I heard somebody interviewed just, I think it was yesterday, on the Dennis Prager Show, which is on our sister station at 1420. And I was interviewing somebody who wrote a book called The Sons of Monsters that I thought, now that sounds interesting. I'd like to find that book and perhaps read it. The Sons of Monsters, I think, is what it said, or Children of Monsters. Maybe that was what the name of it is. I'll have to try and look that up. But this guy wrote a book where he looked at the children of some of these dictators like Mao in China, and Stalin and Pol Pot and Kim Jong-il and different things like that around the world. And he looked at the children of them. But in the course of the conversation, he was talking, of course, about some of these monsters that were the parents. And he was talking about, and this is an interesting thing, he said that the people that we see conducting these atrocities, I remember Saddam Hussein, he just seemed to be particularly inventive in ways of torturing people before he killed them. And Mao Zedong was even more inventive. And it just, you think about Mengele back in Nazi Germany and some of the just absolutely horrific experiments that they actually conducted on human beings, and even the atrocities that the Japanese committed on prisoners of war during World War II. And you think, how can human beings even come up with things like that? Look at the atrocities of the Islamic State and the things that they do. And he made this statement. He said that they get, in a sense, it's like people on drugs. They get too used to the regular run-of-the-mill torture, if we could refer to it that way, that they have to become more and more inventive to get the same, I don't know if you want to call it thrill or satisfaction, that they get from torturing people. And so they have to come up with more and more inventive ways to be able to get the same, I think he at one point even used the word to get the same high, just like a drug high takes more and more. And I thought about that, and I thought, well, you know, in light of our passage here in Ephesians 5:16, redeeming the time because the days are evil, and we do live in an evil day, but it's that demonic nature that's behind some of this, because we do fight against a real devil. You know, we have an enemy. He's real. People try to say that he's imaginary, that he's just a representation of evil, but the Bible says that our adversary, the devil, he walks about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. We have a very real enemy, and I believe that some of these people like Mao and Saddam Hussein and even the people behind the Islamic State, Bashar Assad and others, they are motivated, controlled oftentimes by, I believe, devils that are inciting them to do this. And you think, well, why would they want to take particular pleasure in finding more and more inventive ways to torture and to kill people? It doesn't seem to make sense. If they believe that somebody's an enemy of the state, why don't they just just kill them and get rid of them? Well, I think part of the reason for that, and I'm going to go back to Genesis here. A lot of things in the that you want to understand. If you go back to Genesis, you can find some evidence here. But in Genesis chapter number 9, we have the situation here where Noah and his family have gotten off from the ark. God has just destroyed the world with the great flood, and he did it because, let me back up to Genesis chapter 6 a minute. It says, and God saw, in verse 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And look at this, and it says in verse number 11, the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And, you know, Jesus said that before he returned, it would be as it was in the days of Noah. And we see that today. And when we look in Genesis chapter 9, after Noah and his family have come through the flood, saved on the ark along with the animals and such, the Bible says that when they got off from the ark, God blessed them. Genesis chapter 9, verse 1, God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth, and the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth, and upon every fowl of the air, and upon all that moveth upon the earth, and upon all the fishes of the sea, and in your hand are they delivered. And every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you, even as the green herb have I given you all things. That's an interesting thing right there in and of itself, because prior to the flood, the Bible indicates that man's diet was vegetarian. And after the flood, God told Noah and his family to eat meat. There's where that comes in. But now as we continue, he's given them the command now to eat, that they can eat meat, or permission to eat meat, I guess they can say. And he says here in Genesis 9, verse 4, but the flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat. And surely your blood of your lives will I require, at the hand of every beast will I require it, and at the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of man. Now, I was talking with my son-in-law last night, and we were talking about the abortion issue, and he was having a conversation with some people at work, and I said that ultimately abortion boils down to, is it or is it not justified to end a human life, and what conditions do we have that we can justifiably end a human life? And they were telling him that since he was a Christian, that he must be against war and everything like that as well, if he was going to be consistent. And yet they were trying to be against war and the things of that nature, against the killing in battle, and yet allowing for abortion. Now, that's not consistent either, because obviously you're ending a human life when it comes to an abortion. And without getting into all the details on abortion, in fact, let me invite you to go to our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. I have some programs on there dealing with some of this in terms of the abortion issue and life. But just to, briefly, what happens is at the moment of conception, there's a new life. It's distinct from the mother. It's a brand new life. If it wasn't alive, it would not have to be aborted. Aborted is the taking of a life. And in case of what we're looking at, it's a taking of a human life, because it's not a guppy, it's not a puppy, it's not an oak tree. It's a human life, just at an earlier stage of development. And people come up with all kind of rationale as to why it's okay to end that human life, but it is the ending of a human life. Well, there are cases in the Bible where the taking of a human life is authorized. And essentially, in these cases, the reason is, for the most part, the reason is the protection of other life. And here in Genesis chapter 9, when he says, surely the blood of your lives will I require, at the hand of every beast will I require it, at the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of man, he says here, whoso, in verse 6, whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. Now I'm going to pause before I read the rest of that verse. Let me pause for just a moment. God is saying here that if somebody sheds man's blood, life is in the blood, he says, it's basically talking about killing somebody, murder here, that person's life is to be ended. His blood is to be shed. You can't live very long without blood. You can go a while without eating, without food. You can go for a period of time without air even, but you cannot go very long without blood, literally seconds, and you'll begin to die. But when you look at this statement here, he said, I'll require the life or the blood of somebody who's killed. God is going to hold, whether it's a man or a beast, responsible here. And the reason is, if you have an animal that kills somebody, that animal is to be killed. And that animal left alive may kill again. That person who's willing to take the life to murder somebody else has to have their life taken from them, not so much for the purpose of just ending a life, but to protect other lives. And same thing with that animal being killed so it doesn't kill again. Now, let me go back to Genesis 9 and verse 6 again. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. And here's the other part of that. For in the image of God made he man. Now, let me tie a couple things together here. One of the reasons for capital punishment, one of the reasons that God authorized the taking of a human life here in this case, was because this person has showed themselves willing to murder other people, and so to protect society, this man's life is forfeit. That's the same by extension we have in Exodus 22, where if a thief be found breaking in and he's smitten that he dies, no blood is to be shed for him. Because, see, the homeowner defended his family, protecting the lives of himself and his family members. He took the life of somebody who may very well have killed him and his family members. So again, the object is protecting human life. The police officer with his gun, the soldier with his gun, they are protecting the lives of people in society, the people in our community, people in our country, from those who would take human life. Now, again, we see this right here, but that little phrase at the end of verse 6, where he said, "For in the image of God made he man," gives us something else to understand there. Now, remember, I was talking about the demonic manifestation of these monsters that we have that delight themselves in finding ever more inventive and creative ways to kill people, and how the devil is behind this. See, man is created in the image of God, and we understand that. In Genesis chapter 1, God said, "Let's make man in our image." In Genesis chapter 2, we see the creation of Adam, where God took the dust of the earth and he formed the body of Adam. That corresponds to the part of God's being, God the Son. Then he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. That corresponds to the part of God's being, God the Holy Spirit. And then man became a living soul, and that corresponds, of course, to God the Father. So we have the triune God pictured in the threefold nature of a human being. So when the devil can motivate somebody to kill, to murder somebody, he is striking against the image of God. See, the devil cannot harm God directly. There's no way the devil can inflict a mortal wound upon God. But he also knows that God loves us. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life." See, God loves us. It doesn't please God to throw people into hell. It breaks God's heart. God created us to have a relationship with him. We're created in his image for fellowship with him. God loved us before we loved him. When we were yet in our sins, God loved us, and God made a plan whereby he could redeem us back to himself. But see, the devil knows that if he can motivate somebody to kill somebody before they can become or have a chance to become born again, to be redeemed, they're going to be condemned to an eternity in the lake of fire. And he knows that grieves God. He also knows that if he can get people to inflict harm and torture and eventually kill human beings, it grieves God. So by motivating these people, this demonic influence, satanic influence that operates in the Islamic State, that operates in some of these monsters that we've seen in the world, such as the Hitlers and the Mengels and the Gosnells. If you Google Gosnell, they're the abortion doctor that delighted in watching babies that he delivered alive writhe in pain as they died on the table or on the floor or in a bucket, you know, and the Saddam Husseins and his sons Uday and I can't think of the other guy's name, who used to feed people to these shredding machines that they used to shred trees. He used to feed them in feet first and delight in watching them suffer. Or you think of many of these other people that delighted in these things. See, the devil motivates them to do that because he's attacking the image of God. He's attacking God by proxy. He can't attack God directly. He's attacking God by proxy through these things. And the devil delights to do this and to cause people to do it. Even more, he's delighting that he's getting the creatures that God created, that's you and I, to do these devilish things to other creatures that God created, that's our fellow human beings. And so God provided means to protect us from those who become predators in that sense. But he also condemns the unwarranted taking of human lives that we see that murderers do. Well, I wanted to share some of that because the Bible says, as I said, coming back to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. We have no guarantee that the world will become a better place here in the next few years. In fact, we have every reason to believe, based on the Word of God, that things will get worse and worse. And so, redeeming the time, we need to remember we live in an evil day. And it's more important for Christians to take a stand. It's more important for Christians to stand up. I read a case where I believe it was some of the Islamic State people crucified. I think it was a dozen people, a number of men and a younger boy. I think he was only about 12 or so. And they tortured the young boy in front of the men, trying to get them to recant Christianity. And neither the young boy nor the men would refuse to deny their Savior. And finally, all of them were crucified and killed. And see, that was a direct attempt by the devil to make God feel pain, emotional pain, and in doing so, causing other people to do this to other people. And those are the kind of people that God says we should protect ourselves from. That's why we have a military. That's why we have a police force that uses deadly weapons. That's why the founding fathers of this country found it important to enshrine in the United States Constitution the Second Amendment, guaranteeing our right to be armed as citizens. And that's to protect us also from state predators like dictators such as Mao Zedong and Saddam Hussein and things who allow the devil to use them to torture and to kill people. And, you know, we need to think about these things. They're redeeming the time because the days are evil. But ultimately, we need to remember that the most important thing that we need to do is to make sure of our own salvation, to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that no matter what happens to us, that we have a home waiting for us in heaven. And that's not because we're a good person, not because we go to church a lot, not because we put money in the plate, not because our parents had somebody put water on our head when we were an infant, but because we realized that we were lost because of our sin. We were on our way to a Christless eternity in hell, and that we realized that Jesus Christ, as God in the flesh, lived a perfect, holy life. He fulfilled every element of God's law, something that we cannot do. And then he willingly went to the cross where he became sin for us. He took our sins upon his own self, where he suffered and died upon the cross. Then he was buried. He rose again victorious over sin and death. And that in doing so, he purchased our salvation. And when we're willing to recognize that, confess our sin, and accept the payment that Jesus Christ made, remembering there's no other way but through Christ, the Bible says that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by him. When we accept him as our Savior, our sins are forgiven, and we know that we have a home in heaven. But you know what? We're still in this world, and we still need to redeem the time because the days are evil. We need to do what we can to reach other people with that same gospel message. We need to see them come to Christ as well. Pray for us. Hey, as we're closing out the program here, and certainly want to invite you to visit our church, but tune in next week. We've got a special program coming up. Chris Long with the Ohio Christian Alliance is going to be on talking about issue 3, the marijuana issue that's coming up in November. So join us next week. And again, invite you to visit our church. God bless. Thanks for listening.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220, The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.